Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right, it's that Riot Show, back again for another exciting episode. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And Judo Larry M., how are you feeling this week?
I'm feeling very good, even though it took me a million years to get here.
That's right, you had a little bit of trouble getting into the studio today?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do have to take an express bus.
Yes, public transportation.
Yes, to get here, and... It's not always reliable because of various parades and festivals and other activities going on in the city.
Were there any of those diabolical communist plots known as parades going on today?
Yes, a very filthy, ignorant one at that. So it was very annoying, and I had to work around it. And, I had to wait a long time, and then it took a while to get out because of traffic. And by the time I got out here, I probably took about an hour.
Oh, really? It took you that long?
Yeah, longer. Well, I mean, an hour longer than normal. So,
all right. So, but listen, glad you made it anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm adjusting the levels here a little bit. All right. How does that sound in your headphones, Judah Larium?
You sound good.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
I sound good, bitch.
That's good, baby.
Yeah.
In the big house.
That's right, because I don't want to necessarily have our fans blow out their speakers every time they listen to us.
That's right. It's a riot, but it's not that kind of riot.
That's a riot. That's a riot. That's right. It's the Riot Show. You like the way I did that?
Very classic.
Nice. Oh, professional broadcaster. No, but anyway, so like to make a few pimping announcements. As always, That Riot Show, you can go to thatriotshow.com. You can also go to Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow, twitter.com/thatriotshow. And then again, you could find us at anywhere that great podcasts can be heard. Our particular favorites are iTunes, Stitcher Radio, player.fm. A lot of people... don't know about player.fm, but you should make your way over. They have a great system for listening to the Riot, Judo Larium, and as we said last week, the Riot still continues to be the number one political comedy on player.fm. We're in the top 15 or so of regular comedies. So basically, I think you could say we're blowing it up on player.fm.
That's awesome.
It is. A couple more new venues. We're on Stitcher Radio. You can find us there. You could also find us on Pod-O-Matic. Pod-O-Matic, where the riot seems to be taking off over there. We're enjoying ourselves on Pod-O-Matic. Also, a new outlet last week where you can find our shows, Spreaker.com. Spreaker.com. And by the way, when you go to any of these venues, just search for That Riot Show. That right. That's all, Judo Larry. And we've gone to great pains to make sure that all you have to do is type in That Riot Show.
It's Spreaker? How's that spelled?
S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. It's like speaker, but with an R. Spreaker.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I hadn't heard of Spreaker.com, but they sent me an email during the week, and they said, listen, we've caught a couple of your podcasts. We'd love to have you on the Spreaker platform. So there you go.
Oh, that's great.
And we already had a couple of people tune in on Spreaker. So if you're listening to us on Spreaker.com, thank you. If we get 100 followers on Spreaker.com, we get to be considered for iHeartRadio, which is a huge radio app. So definitely, if you can, go like us and follow us on Spreaker.com. Is that enough pimping, Judo Larium?
That is quite a bit.
I think my dick is sore from all that pimping.
Well, that's not why it's sore.
Oh.
But it's amazing how many platforms we're actually on. So that's
nice,
great.
Nice, nice. And of course, iTunes and YouTube. Forgot about those two.
That's right.
iTunes, where our last couple of episodes, Judo Larium, have been among the top ranked in terms of people's ratings. We've been getting 5 stars from folks. And I want to thank everyone for doing that. So definitely... take a moment, give us a nice rating on iTunes. We'd surely appreciate it. And Judo Larium, also on YouTube, where you can, where folks can actually not only get the full episodes, but also get the riotous clips, which I know you are always barking about the riotous clips.
Yeah, I'm always telling people about the clips because just in case you don't have the chance to listen to the full hour.
Yeah.
Or if you do, sometimes you just want like a quick laugh. I mean, I tell people, I think it's our best stuff, and they're just like little snippets of some of our better jokes and how small you are and all that.
Oh.
The endless moaning of Big Fat John.
I missed my calling when I don't do sound overs. You know,
sound over
voiceovers for porn. Yeah. Like, can we get the stunt moaner in? Oh.
Today on Silver Fox Porn, John will moan like an idiot.
Yes. Because those old people may be able to fuck, but they just don't moan like they used to.
They don't moan as well. You got to ham it up a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Take it. Take it, Grandma. Take it.
Take that Social Security.
Anyway, all right, let's get to enough of the niceties. Let's get to some of the topics of the week. Judo Larry M, this week we actually were, and it's, you know, we talk about it and we act like little whores over it, but it really is something when a celebrity or someone who has a large following on Twitter or Facebook actually mentions you and promotes you a little bit. Last week we were able to do that with none other than one of our favorite Renegades on radio, none other than Mr. Anthony Cumia.
Yep, Anthony, formerly of Sirius Radio.
Yes.
Now doing his own thing.
Right, anthonycumia.com.
And I got to tell you, he's just hysterical.
He's hilarious, and we've said it before, he should have never been fired for those tweets that he made regarding the woman who assaulted him in Times Square, but be that as it may, I also appreciate the fact, Judo Larry, that he never apologized. He refused to give in. He refused to cave to the liberal onslaught. And what he said is, go fuck yourself, Sirius, and basically started his own show at the anthonycumia.com.
But this might be a situation of out of a negative thing.
Sure.
You know, a positive thing accrues.
Right, I mean, right.
You know, being let go, that might be actually the best thing.
Sure. And I saw
he can do his own thing now. He's totally free, and he doesn't have to worry about those assholes stabbing him in the back.
Absolutely. And I caught his the first week of his live show. You know, still some little bit of technical difficulties to iron out, but on the whole, I thought it was a good first week. He had Andrew Dice Clay on one day as a guest. He had Gavin McGinnis on. So he had some guests the first week. But anyway, the point I'm trying to get at is there was a tweet that we put out supporting Anthony to highlight the hypocrisy of Gawker.com, who called Anthony racist, but then they themselves published racist opinion in an article. And when I called them out for it, Anthony saw it. He retweeted our tweet, said, I love this. And I got to tell you, the response has been outstanding, Judo Larry M. Several retweets and favorites for the Riot Show from Mr. Cumia's fans.
That's right. And do you want to tell people exactly what Gawker did?
Sure. I'd be happy to. Basically, there was an app created by a couple of guys here in New York City during, you know, one of those government-sponsored technical mashups, you know, where they invite people to use city databases and stuff to create useful apps. And the winners, you know, get to have the app published and they get some seed money, right? So basically, two guys created an app that, you know, if you put in the zip code or the name of the neighborhood, it basically tells you if that neighborhood is quote unquote good or bad. And by that, they used like the city database to find out the crime rate, the property values, whether they're going up or down, and also, say, for example, the school district, if the school district is rated highly or not. So it's a tool that, if you're looking to buy or rent an apartment in the neighborhood, especially if you have a family, that it could be very useful just based on those things.
Okay, that seems useful.
Seems helpful, right?
Yeah, why not?
Well, Gawker interpreted this as, and I believe the headline they used was, two white guys develop app to help you to help other white people avoid black neighborhoods.
Okay.
That was their title.
That was the entire title?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a title.
Right. Now, what people don't realize is nowhere in the app's description are the words white and black ever mentioned. There is nothing in there that refers to the ethnicity of the creators of the app. Gawker had to dig around to find that out. So basically, Gawker, which I think is hilarious, Gawker assumes that when you say bad neighborhood, you're actually saying black neighborhood.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you something, Gawker. Why is that the case? Why do you? Is it your opinion that every predominantly black neighborhood goes down in property value, that has lousy schools, that has a high crime rate? Is that what your assumption is?
They're assuming also that I guess that the moment you identify by zip code, that the economics might also play, that they're poor neighborhoods,
right?
In the city might be minorities, so they're just assuming that any dangerous neighborhood is going to be a black neighborhood.
Yeah, and they're assuming that that app will only be used by white people. They're assuming, like, right. There's so many goddamn right. racial assumptions on their part
right.
that it is incredulous to me that they would then turn around at any point in their ridiculous existence and claim that someone else is racist.
Right.
And again, this was my point in sending out that tweet. It is the liberal hypocrisy that when anyone else, a libertarian or a conservative or a Republican, mentions race, it's always a negative, right? So the only ones who can mention race at all and still be virtuous have to be liberals, Larry. Right. It can't be anybody but a liberal, because Gawker, of course, meant no harm by being racist.
Right. Only progressives have good intentions.
Right. You cocksuckers.
Idiots.
Are you fucking kidding me? What could be more racist, whether you had good intentions or not? What is more bigoted? What is more racist than assuming that only white people can have good neighborhoods?
Right. And that, but like you said, and that only white people would even use an app like this.
Exactly.
You don't know who's going to use that app.
Right. Are you trying to tell me that somehow successful Latinos, successful African Americans who are interested in purchasing a property or a home they don't care what neighborhood they live in? Are you assuming that only quote unquote black neighborhoods should accept black homeowners? Is that what you're saying? What is it that you're saying, Gawker? I mean, we know what you're saying. You're just announcing to the world that you're nothing but a bunch of liberal racists. And yes, that's not oxymoronic. There is such a thing, Larry, as the liberal racist.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they've always been guilty of, like, low expectations. You saw that even, like, in, like, a lot of education policy.
Sure.
You know, that was one of their big fusses over George Bush's Leave No Child Behind.
Right, right.
You know, but meanwhile, their assumption was that, and they've always played this narrative, is that, well, you know, white kids and Asian kids do this well, black and Hispanic kids do this well.
And it's always below.
Yeah, it's always below. So, you know, and anything that doesn't fit their narrative,
right,
and nothing that fits their policy, well, it's just racist and mean, and it's the stupidest thing in the world. And to assume that these, and also just to assume that the guys who came up with did it for that reason,
right?
Look, maybe they just wanted to develop an app that just, like, lets you know, like, well, this has a little more crime than it's
right.
What's wrong? I wouldn't mind knowing that.
And again, they're using city databases. They're using New York City databases. They're crowdsourcing to get these opinions and to get these ratings. They're not doing subjective ratings. For example, they didn't come out and say, we think Harlem sucks because it's full of blacks. That's not what the app does. What the app does, it says you put in a zip code and it says, here's the crime rate for this zip code. Here's what, you know, like you do with restaurant reviews, right? It'd be like, right. Here's what 200 people had to say about this neighborhood. Here's what the graduation rates are in the public schools in that area.
Right.
Right. Those are like facts. Those are points of data. They're not opinion. They're not subjective. They're just like, here it is. And I think for anyone to assume that the lower end of the scale, by definition, must be full of African Americans, what's more bigoted than that, Judah? To me, is the highest form of bigotry, to assume that a certain race of people can only achieve what you have defined for them.
Right, and that an entire other race of people are doing everything they can to avoid them.
Exactly.
Because their entire argument here is, well, you're just trying to avoid them.
Well, it's nothing but white liberal guilt is what it comes down to. It's white liberals who assume that they must bear the burden of slavery on the part of every other white person in America.
Yeah, but it's also just liberals assuming that everyone else is a racist except them.
Exactly.
So that your reason for coming up with this app that done by zip code
had to be racist.
Which, if you think about it, it's not much different. You know, like they have the ticket exchange StubHub?
Sure.
There's also one called Grubhub.
Nice.
And if you type in the zip code, it tells you what restaurants are around you.
Oh, sure. Sure.
It's basically done with the same mentality.
Exactly.
It's not telling you, okay, look, here's where the black people are, so you don't want to go in there.
Right.
You know, what do you know about a neighborhood until you investigate it?
Exactly. So Gawker, you racist piece of shit, stop picking on other people, accusing them of racism. And listen, for whatever reason, whether it's clever clickbaiting or whatever, Gawker has a substantial amount of traffic going to their sites. So when they make these stupid statements, there's a significant portion of their viewership, Larry, that will just take it as being real.
Oh, absolutely. There are definitely people who are just going to read it, and they're just going to take that as like gospel.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Just like they did when they attacked Anthony over his tweets with that black chick that attacked him in Times Square.
Right.
Right. There's still a lot of people in this country who assume that if they hear something from a quote-unquote news site, or a news station, that it must be true.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I mean, they also showed that poll of how many people think that Jon Stewart, the kids in particular,
right.
Jon Stewart is doing like real actual news on the Daily Show,
right?
I mean, instead of just comedy,
right? I mean,
he's very
right.
liberal, but it's still just comedy. I mean,
well, the funny thing is that Jon Stewart's show, to some extent, does view itself as a disseminator of information. That's the funny part. Like, Jon Stewart can always claim when he's banked into a corner, he could say, hey, I'm not a newsman, I'm a comedian. And he's right to some extent. But I think it's disingenuous if he gets up and claims, well, we don't approach it as if we're informing people. Because I think he does on some level. You know what I mean, Larry?
It is to the extent that he has, like, real guests on.
Right.
And he reads their books and he questions them about them.
Sure.
On the other hand, I got to give him a lot of credit. He actually does read these fucking books and all this shit
that people
put out.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have like a staff. My understanding is he doesn't have like just a staff who like skimmed through and said, here, this was on page 86. This was on page 122. This was on page 199. Ask him about this. Like, my understanding is he actually reads these things.
No,
he takes the time out to know what he's talking about.
Yeah. And listen, he's clearly a liberal. He's clearly a leftist, and that's fine. Not every, you know, you got to have opposing viewpoints. And I give him credit that he is funny. In my opinion, he is witty, and on occasion he actually does attack or go after people on the left.
He does.
So you know, like, whereas I don't appreciate his ideology,
his worldview.
Like I admit, he's a good comedian. He does a good job of. Whether it should be or not, in my opinion, he does a good job of informing people in a humorous way. And that's fine.
And it's also good because I think there's a lot of apathy out there among the young and the youth. And let's face it, he is making it interesting to them.
Absolutely.
Even if it's his point of view or not, he is bringing them into the fold in a sense that, look, there are important things here.
Right.
You need to be involved in more things than getting drunk and putting a huge tube through your earlobe and shit like that. But, you know, look, I give him some credit. You know, every once in a while, I mean, he had Pelosi on one time. And look at the people he actually gets as guests.
Yeah.
He gave her a hard time.
Yeah.
He gave her a hard time. When she couldn't answer, like, what was in, like, the Obamacare bill and why they passed it, whatever, he just went, you got to be kidding me. He goes, you're, like, the Speaker of the House and, like, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he definitely is someone that I think is doing a good job. And I just think it's a little bit disingenuous if he constantly keeps saying, like, well, I'm not a newsman. My job is not to inform someone. I mean, whether you accepted it or whether you set out to do this or not, the truth of the matter is, that you are informing a very impressionable group of people. Now, you could say, go fuck yourself. I don't care.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, it's not my responsibility to make sure that college-age students get both sides of the story or whether or not they get that this is like a joke or not. And it's not his responsibility. We'd be the last two guys to force that on him, of course. You know, he could say whatever he wants, and we would support it.
Of course, if anybody was struggling with that, of course, the giveaway would be that he's on Comedy Central. He's not on Fox.
Right.
He's not on CNN. He's not on that
just like
high school production over there at MSNBC.
Right. Just like Colbert. You know, it's like it's the same concept, you know. So, but anyway, so that's what we had to say about that. You know, just wanted to make sure that Gawker understands that, yes, you can be a liberal and still be a racist.
Yeah.
And still be a bigot. the definition of a bigot and a racist.
I know they don't think of themselves that
way. No, of course not. But it's the same thing with MSNBC, you know, because the definition, look it up in the dictionary, of a racist is somebody, or a bigot, is somebody who assigns characteristics to an entire group of people automatically.
Right, but also racist implies that you have the power to impose it as well.
I don't know. What do you mean by that?
Did you have the power to impose your will on other people?
Oh, okay. I don't know. What,
your race over their race.
Oh, okay.
That's what the term is. They're racist. It basically means you're coming up with a set of standards.
Right,
sense,
okay.
And things that you don't like about other people and saying, well, it's you should be doing this, that, and that, you know.
Right, right.
It does imply that you have the power to do it, which is the only slight difference between that and a bigot. A bigot is just what you just said.
Right.
Just somebody who prescribes things to people. And
right. So yeah. If you're a liberal and you assume that blacks can't succeed or can't have nice neighborhoods unless whitey comes in and does it for them, isn't that the highest level of bigotry? I'm trying to understand where you would think it's not bigotry to assume that.
Right. Also, I got upset with the thing with Anthony. I got to tell you one separate thing. I understand. Look, maybe they think he's lying. Maybe right. They think he was taking pictures of that chick or whatever.
Creeping.
But couldn't you at least at some point have acknowledged, look, it does seem like he was attacked. And then like some other guys came over to help her out and were like attacking him. Don't you have anything to say on the left about the fact that there was violence being used against this man? I mean, they said nothing. All the criticism just went right to him. You act like the other people in this situation, this black woman and some guys who came over, you act like they have no responsibility in this whatsoever.
Well, you know, black people can't be expected to be responsible, Judolarium. That's part of the liberal credo. You can't expect that on their part, these poor people. They've been so beaten down that you can't expect them to have any sort of restraint or self-control or ability to manage their emotions.
That's terrible. I know what you're saying about liberals, but that is terrible. If you're out there, if you're black, don't let anybody tell you you can't behave like a civilized human being.
Of course.
That's insane.
Listen, during the week in St. Louis, there were, I believe, three or four black teenagers who participated in the knockout game, okay? And you say to yourself, okay, there's a lot of idiots that do that. But in this particular case, they actually filmed themselves doing the knockout game and put it up on Facebook. Just to show you how fucking arrogant these people are, right? Did Gawker put up a headline that says, four black teenagers beat the living shit out of a white guy randomly?
No, of course not.
No, it was just four teenagers knockout game in St. Louis. And there's video of this. It's not like it's a secret, okay? So I would ask Gawker, like, if you're so quick to throw up these racist headlines, why don't you do it in the other direction? See, again, your bigotry, your racism is such that it's almost as if you're saying, we expect white people not to be aggressive because they're far more in control of themselves. But black people, you know, the aggression should just be tolerated as part of their being, whether it's because of slavery or racism or whatever, it's almost like you're saying you expect them to act out violently. And what's more bigoted than that? You expect violence from a certain community? Like I do it. I expect violence out of these fucking savages in Iraq, which we'll get to in a point.
Yeah.
Okay. But apparently when I say that on Twitter or something, people have a problem with it. Because all I get are these stupid tweets that say, well, you know, Islam is a religion of peace, Judolaria.
Yeah, of course.
And these people are not representative of Islam.
Well, they may not be representative of the religion of Islam, but there's way too many of them within the religion of Islam.
Right, to just ignore.
And nobody's standing up to them.
Right, right.
Except us.
So what's the bigotry involved here, Gawker, or Mediaite, or whatever? You know, whatever liberal outlet you want to talk about. Why don't you address your bigotry?
Media matters.
Why don't you? Yeah, George Soros is bullshit.
Yeah, that jerk.
You know, why don't you address your bigotry? True, your bigotry takes the form of paternalism, but it's still bigotry. It's still a form of racism. Why don't you address that?
Because they don't see themselves as
of course not. They're doing that's what I'm saying is the hypocrisy.
Yeah, I know. In other words, there's no room for introspection on their side because
They mean well.
They don't see themselves as bad.
They mean well.
Right, they mean well. They don't see themselves as enablers. You know, it's ridiculous. And when you call like the guys in ISIS,
yes,
like savages and things, animals, like that, like their way of reacting to that is you shouldn't say things like that.
Yeah,
like that's like
their terrible way of reacting is letting Dino Badala write stupid columns justifying it. You know, that's their reaction. Get another Muslim to write an article that basically says, if you dare question us as a group, you're an evil bigot and a racist.
Yeah,
that's their way of handling it. That has to be the way of doing things.
Right.
But anyway, all right, Judah Larry. I mean, enough of that. You see my face, right? I'm all beet red. This really gets my goat.
Yeah, no, it's terrible, especially because Anthony was clearly mistreated.
Yeah.
He was clearly mistreated. And, like, you know, these assholes, they're always looking for somebody's head to carry through the corridors, you know, that they can say, ha, like another racist.
Looking for reasons to get offended, literally.
Yes.
Searching for reasons to be offended.
To be outraged.
And to be outraged, right. So that they can, like, get somebody fired and then move on to the next asshole. That seems to be the agenda now. Let's find someone we could bitch about. Get some guilty liberal CEO to fire the offensive person and then move on. Well, you know, unbelievable. Unbelievable. But anyway, Judah Lyram, we kind of mentioned it just now. We said, you know, ISIS really talk about savagery. You've got this ISIS in Iraq and they're really just taking it to new heights in terms of their viciousness and their savagery and just being like goddamn fucking animals in that country.
Yeah, now they've kidnapped a couple of hundred girls that they're keeping as slaves.
And women, yeah.
Women, they've been beheading children.
Yeah.
One report that I saw, they're beheading children. How the fuck do you do a thing like that?
They line them up and they just chop their heads off.
Jesus Christ. And just atrocities left and right. I mean, finally, Obama did something. There were a couple of airstrikes.
Now, before the airstrikes, let's just set it up. They had in Iraq, they had managed to basically surround this group of people. I can't pronounce the people, Larry. You want to give a shot?
Yadrizi.
Yeah, something like that.
Sorry.
But basically, surrounded them on a mountaintop, and basically, these poor people were given the choice of starving to death or coming down the mountain and being killed.
Right.
Okay. And finally, after all this shit was happening, Obama decided to bomb a couple of artillery, I guess, strongholds or supply lines.
Right.
I think there were four airstrikes.
Four airstrikes.
Yeah, over the course of 2 or 3 days. And basically, that was enough of a distraction to allow the Kurdish land forces from Turkey to, like, basically cut a path through these animals to allow these people to escape, kind of give them a back door to come down the mountain and get off. So I'm sitting here and saying, like, between that, the savages in Gaza, the Hamas, like, who in their right mind sits here now and says that these fucking people are people and not savage animals?
Yeah.
Anywhere in the world, anywhere in the Middle East now. What, how can you look at this and say they're not representatives of Islam?
Yeah, that argument is starting to make me just, I think I want to spit at somebody. They have got to stop saying that. This is very much where Islam is right now. I understand there are plenty of Muslims who are not participating in this, but there are plenty who are. And this is a real fucking problem. And when we talked about this last week, like, I don't see Hamas's argument in any of this.
Right.
And I don't see ISIS's argument in any of this. Of course, there is one bad thing, you know, as far as the ISIS thing, you know, the Maliki, the guy who's running Iraq now, he did promise he'd include a lot of different people in the government, and he hasn't done that. And that kind of made some of this happen. But, I mean, the behavior is barbaric.
But how do you include these savages in anything? I mean, I know that Obama keeps putting out these statements that say, we look forward to the day where everybody's included in Iraq. You know what? Maybe our understanding of democracy isn't what keeps things in order over there. You know, for all this shit, this never happened when Saddam Hussein was in charge, Larry.
I was actually just thinking that. Like, I guess maybe it's too late to have a take back at this point. But
Like, I mean, in some cultures, whether we decide to accept this or not, like, people are animals. And the way you keep animals in line is by beating them every so often. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it, clearly, nobody in Iraq is interested in democracy.
No.
It's a concept that's completely foreign to them.
No.
They don't, you know, you can't expect people to get together and debate without, like, chopping heads off or shooting kids in the head or taking women and chopping off their clits. Like, you can't expect people who follow this line of reasoning to sit and debate in a civil manner.
Right. Also, you can't expect it because you're dealing with people who never want to not get their way.
Right.
So if you have people who only want their way 100% of the time, and then right. you've got the ones who don't, they don't even want the women voting.
And by the way, they're not necessarily like gracious losers or gracious winners.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, some of the losers have right. decided to become violent towards the winners.
Right, right. And I'll vice versa.
Yeah. I'll never forget that time that some guy, this goes back a little bit, but there was some guy won an election to run Lebanon.
Right.
And, like, the next day, he got blown up his headquarters by the opposition
right.
because they were so pissed off yeah. about losing.
And then you look at, you know, you talk about ISIS. Listen, you know what's scary? There are reports that fighters that had been aligned with Al-Qaeda in Iraq have decided that Al-Qaeda has gone too soft on them, and they're all joining ISIS now.
Yeah.
Think about that. There's assholes in Iraq. There's current savages in Iraq. Let me say this clearly. There's currently Muslim savages in Iraq that think Al-Qaeda has gone soft, that Al-Qaeda has become too pussy for them, and they want to join the group that's beheading children, because that's where it's at, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that happened one other time. A few weeks back, I very quickly gave a recap of what was going on in Yemen.
Uh-huh.
Remember I told you that? And there were these people who live in the northwestern part of it. I forgot their names, but they're another one. They've been fighting with Al-Qaeda and beating them.
Right.
And they don't want to join with them because they're pussies.
Right.
they just don't know. The Al-Qaeda people just don't understand. This is like?
Yeah.
This is like those stories you sometimes you hear about how, like, in the white supremacist world, They hate the Klan,
right?
And they won't talk to them because they think they're idiots and losers. Like, you're not real white supremacists.
They sold out.
Yeah. That's really something when Al-Qaeda is like too
pussy.
Soft.
Yeah, and think about that. So, like, anybody who's trying to, I saw this idiot Ezra Klein, and he was promoting an article on his new site Vox that was trying to explain the true meaning of a caliphate. You know that. We're not doing anybody any justice by saying that ISIS is trying to establish a new caliphate, because thousands of years ago, caliphates were centers of learning and peace and all that nice stuff. And I read this and I'm saying to myself, all right, you asshole, what do you think? Now that if ISIS reads your article, they're going to all of a sudden stop beheading children because they realize that their understanding of caliphate is wrong?
Yeah.
What do you think? They're sitting around? Or are you trying to get people in the West to say, oh, well, listen, we should tolerate them because that's not what they're calling a caliphate really isn't a caliphate.
Yeah, it's not a real caliphate.
What the fuck are you trying to accomplish? Who cares what it's called? The point is these savages are chopping heads off their own children, for God's sake. They're giving mothers the choice of either throwing their kids off a mountaintop or having them beheaded. This is shit you read about that happened 5,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Not, you know what I mean?
That's, yes. And they're chasing Christians out of their towns like Mosul.
Chasing. They're killing
Mosul,
them.
Mosul. And,
they're
yeah.
killing them.
Yeah.
You know, they're giving them a choice of conversion. And the few that do conserve, they end up convert. They end up killing them anyway.
Right.
All right? And by the way, that you just see these videos saying that we're not stopping till we get to the White House. You know, they're not going to be satisfied with whatever they do in Iraq. Like, if I thought for a minute these are animals that would stay within their own borders, I wouldn't give a fuck. As cold as that sounds, you want to run your own country any way you want? I don't give a shit. Why should we be involved? But clearly, these guys represent, this group represents a danger outside of its own borders against both Americans and American interests, Larry. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
they're not going to be content with just what they're doing over there. And also, as far as this Ezra Klein is, look, I don't give a shit what the caliphate was a couple of hundred
right, exactly.
That's so stupid. You know what that's like? That's like pointing out that the swastika used to be a peace sign.
In India, right.
You know, that the,
don't blame the Nazis because they just don't understand their own symbol.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
The Nazis perverted. Like the ancient Sumerians used to use it as a peace symbol.
Yeah.
And some other people use it. Who the fuck cares?
Oh, well, Larry.
It is what it is now.
Larry, now that you've explained it to me, I think that makes Nazis much more tolerable.
Yes. they're, Nazis.
Because now I know that they're perverting something. They're just misunderstood.
Yeah, that's it.
You fucking asshole. You but it's really liberal asshole.
It's really the perfect analogy. Who the hell cares what it used to be? It is what it is now.
Exactly.
And this caliphate that they're talking about, this isn't going to be a place of learning and everything. Unless learning to kill people who are different than you.
And yeah.
That's about it.
And seriously, who cares? Like, I'm again, to your point, I'm tired of hearing apologists for Islam that have to tell me that not every Muslim is chopping women's clits off, that not every Muslim is beheading children. Fair enough, stupid. But we're talking that there's a significant number of Muslims who do believe that, who do act that way. And for you to enter into a battle of survival saying that, listen, we got to hold back because, you know, Islam is the religion of peace, Larry. And, you know, we can't.
Piece of your fingers, piece of your head.
We can't really go after these people because really, you know, it's just a few people who are perverting it. First of all, without knowing real percentages, I doubt that it's just a sliver of people.
Of course. Could a sliver of people take over that much of Syria and Iraq? I mean, you'd have to have a significant amount of guys.
Plus other chunks of the world. Like you said, Yemen, Angola, like all these places. Yeah. It's like, it's not like this little radicalized, like the assholes in the mountains of Montana, the white supremacists or whatever. You know, like that is a sliver of people.
Yeah, that's actually a very small group.
That's like 100 people. Yeah. Running around in a mountaintop somewhere waiting for Armageddon and the rise of the white race.
Yeah, I'm blaming the Jews for everything. Like, nobody cares what those assholes think.
That's a sliver of people.
Though they are annoying enough to make us change the name of our show.
There you go. Good one, Larry.
Thank you.
But you know, when you say there's an insignificant minority of people that are making noise, that's what you refer to as that type of minority, all right? Or the radical, what is it, the really violent wing of the JDL. What is that, Larry? I forget which one it is.
Oh, it is. It's,
you know, like that guy who gets on public access and talks about how many
Arabs he's not on anymore. Chaim Ben Pesa.
There you go.
He's not on anymore. Yeah, he was a different group of the JDL.
Right. Like the really violent part of the JDL.
Yeah, he actually spent time in jail, that guy. Yeah. He blew up some people.
And he was proud of telling you who he blew up and where he put his bombs.
And he kept calling it the New York Nazi Times.
Right. Now that guy, clearly, is someone who's perverting Judaism. But you know what? There's like five of him, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they're not taking over entire countries, right? So when you have a group like Al-Qaeda, when you have a group like ISIS, please don't feel obligated, if you're a liberal, to trot out that bullshit line that we shouldn't necessarily judge all Muslims by the actions of these few bad apples.
Yeah, that's a bullshit
argument.
That's
bullshit.
Yeah.
Whether it's Dino Badala, Pete Dominic, or anybody on MSNBC that comes out to remind me that, go fuck yourself. You know what I'm reminded of? Every time I see a picture of rockets being sent into Israel 10 seconds after a ceasefire went into effect.
Right.
I tell me about it when I don't see a couple of tall buildings in New York City collapsed because there's a fucking group that thinks that we represent all that's evil in the world.
Right.
All right, and tell me that when there's no reports coming out of Mosul that Christians are being beheaded just for being Christians.
I know, but it's
take just, that to your tolerance, you fucking assholes.
It's all throughout the Middle East and the part of Africa that has the Muslim population.
Right, exactly. I mean,
it's just a constant. Now, here's another one. Oh, this is the other thing that the ISIS are now doing. And they did this in a town in northern Syria or somewhere called Tarak or something like that. They just did this yesterday.
What's
they
that?
Had some woman, some guy, whatever, they accused him of adultery. So then they accused him of adultery. They buried them up to their neck. And right after they pronounced them guilty, they backed up two dump trucks full of rocks. And they poured the rocks out. This is a true story. And they wanted the townspeople to stone them. Now, to their credit, the townspeople would not do it.
Okay.
So then the ISIS guys picked up the rocks and stoned this poor girl till she was dead. And for what? For adultery. First of all, we don't even know if she's guilty of anything. Second of all, this is what you do to people? They're animals, for God's sake. But I want to say credit to the people of the town who wouldn't do it.
Right.
That's actually encouraging.
Right.
But the fact is, they just did this yesterday. That was the other thing I was trying to remember. They stoned this person. They backed up two dump trucks full of rocks. I mean, they got rocks in their heads, these fucking idiots.
They're fucking animals, and you can't reason with them. See, that's the part that I keep trying to drive home to liberals is like, it's not like if you tried to reason with them or gave in to their demands even, that this would all of a sudden stop.
No, this is because this is the problem, though, and I always go on about this.
Right.
This is the problem with religion.
Right.
Because this is what religion drives people to. And I understand there are plenty of nice people who believe in God, but there's a lot of fucked up people who believe in God. And the worst thing in the world is when you think you can do something because God said so, it empowers you to do anything. Because once you got the okay, in your mind, once you got the okay from God.
What else matters?
Yeah, what else matters? You know, the other night on 48 hours or 48 hours. They had, they did the show. We covered this once. That Latter-day Saints group that was down in Texas.
Okay.
And that the government went in and they, remember they shut them down and they arrested that guy whose last name was Jeffs. His name was.
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. And meanwhile, this guy was a lunatic.
Of course.
He did all kinds of crimes and the women in there are just being like abused, treated like slaves, the children. Terrible. And all he just kept babbling on about God. Oh, this is God's will. God day. God. Oh.
Yeah, please. But when you combine. See, that's the thing. You could combine the religious fanatic with a savage. And I think that's what's happening here, especially in the Middle East. It's like they're true believers, but they're also savages. Like, if even if, for example, if everyone surrendered in those towns in Iraq, let's assume, right? Do we think that their lives would be any better?
No, of course not.
Do we think that ISIS would then say, okay, we got this town, that's it?
No, of course not.
Right? They would still be imposing their shit. They would still be beheading people, all right? That's what we're trying to say. There's no appeasing them. And that's what liberals, leftists, apologists forget. It's like the reason, do you think if Israel agreed, or even after they have agreed to certain conditions, has the violence stopped? Has it decreased? Of course not. Because these are people, like you said, Larry, they've got the okay from Allah, from God. That's it. That's all they want. That's all they need. And they don't give a fuck.
Of course. And the other thing that makes them scary is if you kill them, that doesn't matter either, because guess where they're going?
They're looking to die.
Yeah, they're going to fucking paradise. So yeah. They don't care.
With 72 hoes ready to blow them and finger their assholes.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen in real life, I guess, which is why they're so happy to and so eager to die.
Yeah, they go to make-believe land and have it happen.
That's what happens when you dress your women like head to toe in heavy black cloth. You got stanky women. You don't want them blowing you. You don't want to stick the finger up their ass, dude, Larry M. It's all stanky.
Oh, okay.
All this could be solved with a couple of bikinis and a couple of Brazilian waxes.
I knew you'd find a way to get porn into this. You mean to tell me if somebody would just play with these guys' taints, they'd calm down?
Maybe. Or maybe using other liberal philosophy, maybe they're gay and they just don't know it. Yeah. Maybe that's why they're so aggressive. Because, you know, if they just got in touch with their true feelings, due to Larry M, and just admit that they love the cock, maybe all this would go away.
Yeah, maybe they eat too much red meat. That's another one. I eat too much red meat. Really? I eat red meat all the time. I'm the most nonviolent person in the world.
Maybe, just maybe if they weren't purveyors of a rape culture, they would find the inner beauty of everyone, Judo Lariam.
Sis.
You fucking assholes. That type of shit, you liberal cocksuckers, only works in a civilized society. That only works in a society like ours or England or something.
Yeah.
Where you could say that stupid shit and there are laws against people punching you in the face or stabbing you in the heart.
Because you're stupid.
Like in savage countries like Iraq and Iran, they don't give a fuck. You start going against what the orthodoxy is, they'll shove a bat up your ass and then, like Larry said, back up a dump truck full of rocks and drop it on your head.
Two dump trucks full of rocks and they and stoned this person. Poor girl did that.
Spend 3 weeks deciding whether your mode of execution should be dropping a wall on you.
Or a bulldozer
chopping off your
head. Which, as we covered on this show, you know that's bullshit because they don't know what a bulldozer is.
So, who are you trying to negotiate? That always amazes me. Who are you negotiating with?
I know. Because you know what it is with liberals? They think that this is their way of fending off racism.
Right.
They think that, you know, this is just going to encourage hate if we admit the truth, that they're really doing all these horrible things.
But they're savages.
Yeah, they are.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's one thing to be different and acknowledge differences with different races and try to negotiate your way around them. Like, that's the kind of shit I expect with the Chinese or the Koreans or something like that. You can talk to them. It's like, you can't talk to these fucking animals in the Middle East.
Right.
You can't, like, they're doing this to their own people. Do you think they give a fuck about you?
Yeah. That's, you know, I used to tell that to people when they, back in 2008 before asshole got elected.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, if Obama becomes the president, oh, we're going to get so much mileage out of this because he's going to be the face of the country.
Right.
You know, this is going to be great. And I was like, you really think these fucking assholes, like in the Middle East, or Kim Jong Il, who's right. alive at the time, say, you really think they care what color the American president
is? They just view it as weakness.
Exactly. But the point is, they don't care. It doesn't matter if he's black. Doesn't matter. You can make him Puerto Rican and gay tomorrow. They don't care. Well, they might care about the gay, but they just don't care. That matters to people over here. Over there, it's, yeah, okay. And like that, now look at all this shit that's going on. Has the world gotten better since Obama's been the face of America?
No.
Has North Korea been better? No. Is Putin more or less under control than when he was with Bush?
Right.
I mean, look at this shit. And now this ISIS group? Oh, please.
Yeah,
and now you realize, because everybody, you know what the problem with horrible news is, it becomes like fucking whack-a-mole.
Sure.
Like, you keep following each head that pops up. Like, now everyone's like, nobody's talking about Boko Haram anymore.
Right.
Nobody's talking about all these horrible fucking things that are going on.
All those, like the Ukraine, the plane that got shot down over the Ukraine has disappeared.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That was an aggressive incident. Somebody shot down a fucking plane.
Killed all those people. But I'm also talking about the fact that it was a lead story. And like, look how people's attention, like even that other plane that just disappeared.
Yeah.
They still haven't found it.
Right.
Nobody
right.
just fucking cares anymore. And but if you look at all these horrible things,
sure.
They're just going to keep happening. See, the only thing is we're in kind of a catch-22.
Right.
I think a lot of people in this country want to take a step back from the world, let them deal with their own shit. And I think this is right and left. Everybody just wants, let's just deal with our own stuff.
Yeah.
The only problem is twofold. Number one, if you step back, someone's going to step in. And the people going to step in, it's going to be Russia, China, Iran, people who are fucking assholes. Number two, if you step back completely, well, you're also inviting trouble because people will come after you because they're assholes.
Right.
And they're savages.
Right.
They're not decent people looking to live in peace like you liberals are.
Right.
That you're always talking about peace. You have to realize there are people who don't want that. And there are people who don't want democracy. They don't even think it's a good system. They think the world would be better off without it.
Right, right. There's a lot of people who just prefer having the Saddam Husseins in the world. I mean, look, as much as Saddam Hussein was offensive to the sensibilities of Americans, for the sake of argument, right? You never had this shit happening under his regime.
No, not at all.
Do you know why? Because he kept everybody scared of him.
Yeah. You got out of line. You died.
Exactly.
You know, and now
that's how he kept the peace.
Yeah.
Now same goes for the Shah of Iran. The same goes for the Ayatollah.
Right.
You know, people are terrified to get out of line with them. Now, that's not a system of government that I aspire to.
No, not at all.
Right? But when you look at those people in those countries, by and large, they're also sheep. Like that story you just told me about the townspeople who refused to stone the adulteress, the alleged adulteress, to me is a sign of hope, like you said, because they stood up to ISIS. But at the end of the day, they're unarmed. They can't get rid of ISIS. So their little defiance, if you want to, is very limited in scope.
Right.
Right? Like, why does ISIS get to roll over every goddamn town in Iraq?
Yeah.
Is it that they're tremendous fighters? Is it that, you know, what is it? To me, I think it's a combination of they're savage animals, and the people trying to hold up against them really don't have the stomach to fight.
Right.
I think it's a combination of both.
Well, the people who don't want to fight because they don't want to die and get killed.
Right.
I mean, look, you have to realize there are people over there who are just sick and tired of war.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, they don't have a Second Amendment. So,
you know, I was just thinking that, you know, like it's said that a lot of countries, even like during World War II, again, I don't know how accurate this is. Supposedly, Japan was considering an invasion of mainland America. And their leaders were talked out of it by Admiral Yamamoto because he said, behind every blade of grass in America lurks a man with a gun.
Right.
That it becomes very difficult to conquer a nation where the citizenry itself is armed. Now, whether that's a true story or not, or if it's just legend, I don't know. But if you think about it, groups like ISIS and stuff have a much easier time of it because when they enter these towns, nobody's armed. Nobody can, I mean, right. You might have a small police force or something, but they're not going to stand up to, you know.
They're going to put down their guns and maybe even join them.
And which is what's been happening.
You know, even that crazy psycho group, the Janjaweed in...
The who?
The Janjaweed, and they're barbarians in the Sahara.
Yeah.
They're Muslims. They've been going from town to town, killing people, killing... But they just go into unarmed towns and just...
I'll be honest with you. I haven't heard of them, Judah Larian.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the thing that George Clooney's always been about. This is a huge problem, the Janjaweed. They're these crazy Muslim guys. They go through town to town just killing people. And the people have no way of fighting back. Nothing.
Right.
Zero. They have no guns. They got nothing. And you're going to get wiped out.
You know what I would support is arming them for a price.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the one other thing that was in the news here, that apparently we are now giving arms to the Peshwad and some other groups over there, hoping that they can help the Iraq government.
We'll cut them a deal.
Fight back the ISIS.
We'll cut them a deal. Send us some of that oil, boy!
We also sent them a lot of humanitarian aid.
Right.
But which we never get credit for. But, I mean, this ISIS thing... You know, they better start. Look, even if they just do airstrikes, they got to just start really pounding these bastards.
They get a foothold. Yeah. I mean, as it is, it might be too late.
They got a foothold.
Yeah, I was going to say, as it is, it might be too late.
If we just start hammering them, we can really fuck them up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And for those of you that say that then you'll just end up engendering hatred of America, guess what? They don't care for us now.
Yeah, that's a fake argument. Look, when people hate you, there's no such thing as hating you more.
Yeah.
Liberals don't say that, but if we do that, they're really going to hate us. They already fucking hate us. Thank you.
They hate you by the fact that you're...
That's the longest applause in show history. Thank you.
They hate you based on the fact that you're not Muslim. And if you are a Muslim in the U.S., they hate you because if you're not already bombing stuff on the D-Lo.
Yeah, and they think you're backing up the Zionists in Israel. Another minor little detail.
Holy shit. Now, I just get myself worked up again. Stop telling me that that this is not representative of the religion.
They're going to hate us more, John. There's actually more hate to have out there. They don't hate us enough, but if we bomb them, they're really, really going to hate us. They already fucking hate us. They're assholes.
Yeah,
let's just kill them and send them to their bullshit paradise that doesn't exist.
Exactly. Hey, Dean, for all your bullshit in this country, or whoever decides to tell me this shit, can you point to me in the U.S. and tell me where mobs of Christians are taking over border towns in Indiana or New Mexico or Arizona, and just fucking start killing Muslims in those countries? Like, the worst thing you guys got to complain about here is that maybe the NYPD doesn't hire Sikhs because they don't want them wearing their headbands, you know, while they're on the job. That's the highest form of discrimination you could point to in this country. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or that Muslims might get, Hindus get called Muslims and Muslims get called Hindus by some ignorant crackers, right?
Right.
But
they should use the accepted term of Talhid.
But you know what I'm saying? Our problems with that sort of discrimination and racism pale in comparison to these fucking people that when they run into a Christian baby, they chop its head off. Like Luca Brasi threw that baby in the furnace because it wasn't Catholic. But let me emphasize.
That was okay.
That was a novel. It wasn't real life, that's you fucking assholes.
Plus, it was funny.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm laughing because the only other alternative is to cry over this. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you find out that there's 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds being decapitated because their parents are, they're not even Christian. Their parents are Christian at that point for all intents and purposes. Do you know what I mean? And they're just being decapitated by these savages for what?
Yeah.
For what?
Because they're a different religion. And what kind of reason is that to kill anyone? I mean, just to show you, I mean, and this is just going to keep going on. It's only going to get worse.
Of course.
All these stories that we just covered, you're going to hear more shit.
Of course.
This past couple of weeks, the next couple of weeks, because as they get desperate to really push to take over the country.
And in some cases, we just have to acknowledge that the only solution is the eradication of these animals. I'm willing to accept it. There's no, again... There's no okay, you guys can keep northern Iraq, keep that for yourselves, and then join the parliament as representatives of the northern part of Iraq, ISIS. That's not going to happen. Right? They're not going to. You know what I mean? It's not like they're looking for political power. They're looking for absolute tyrannical power.
Right. And they are definitely looking to spread it past the parts of Iraq and Syria that they control.
Absolutely.
That they control. They're definitely going to push that. And then eventually they'll start trying to mess with Israel and mess with us.
Of course.
It's just terrible. Terrible.
There's nothing other than other Islamic states that they tolerate. That's it.
I know, but it's just barbaric. You know what I was just thinking about is, remember that reporter, Laura Johnson, Laura, what's her face? I forgot her last name. I'm sorry, on CBS. She's on 60 Minutes. Remember she got raped in Egypt by like 200 guys? Remember they all attacked her and they were yelling, Jew, and she's not Jewish, for the record. But they attacked her, they raped her, and they were just, I mean, they're insane over there.
Yeah, it's just, there's no defending it. There's no point in referring to thousands of years ago when the Middle East was the source of like astronomy and mathematics and all that horseshit.
Thanks for the algebra.
Yeah.
Could you go on eBay and get a new religion? You fucking assholes.
That's the other thing, you know, this is the running joke when you talk to apologists. It's like they'll always cite something like, well, what about the Christian Crusades? Those were savage expeditions. Yeah, okay. How many years ago was that?
Yeah, how many centuries ago?
Yeah, like, fair enough, but we've progressed. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We've progressed.
That's what I always tell liberals that I argue this with. I always say, look, if you want to look at it this way, since the time of the Crusades, I said, I think it's fair to say that the white culture has moved ahead quite a bit.
Right.
I said, their culture has stood still. They've stood
still. By choice.
They're doing the same stupid shit now that they did back then.
What is the difference between the Ottoman Empire's expansion and what ISIS wants to do, or Al Qaeda? What's the difference?
But my problem with them is their lack of understanding. Like their argument is like what you just said. Like if you tell them, well, they're beheading people, and they'll go like, what about Cardinal Richelieu? Like fuck you! I don't care about that frog. That was like 200 years ago.
Dude. Yeah, why are you taking the context of a world from 500, 600 years ago and applying it to today? By that thinking, everybody should die at 40 because nobody lived past that.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, well, what the fuck are you talking about? We're talking about now. You know, like, to me, even bringing up the fact that Israel wasn't a state, it wasn't a country before 1946, is pushing the boundaries of I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and that was like, what, 70 years ago? Even to me, that right now is on the border of ancient history. Like, to me, if there's nobody alive from that time that can remember it personally, right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
World War II, people are forgetting because there aren't that many people left alive who were witnesses to World War II.
Yeah, but it's also a problem of just people being stupid.
That too.
I mean,
that
you know, you have a generation now. Like, I remember they used to say this when I was growing up. Look at all these kids who don't know anything about Vietnam. And then they moved it to Iraq when George Bush went in the first time, the father.
Right.
And there is a problem with the fact that there's a certain amount of young people who don't give a goddamn about anything that happened 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And they
that doesn't affect them.
That doesn't affect them at all. Because I remember one time some kid was beeping. This goes back a little bit, but was complaining about Reagan going into Grenada. And I said,
"Wow, that is ancient history."
I said, "You think that's a problem?" I said, "What about when Lyndon Johnson sent troops into the Dominican Republic?"
Who?
Lyndon Johnson.
Who?
The jerk off president.
What?
Huh?
What?
But it was essentially the same thing. And he went, "Dominican Republic."
Yeah. It's like, okay. Yeah, you're right. Like people, if it doesn't affect them and it happened more than 20 minutes ago, they don't remember. They don't give a fuck, right? So anyway, that's my point. And again, horrible stuff going on. I don't know, Judah Lyman, what do you think? Like, I'm against American interventionism, to be honest with you, on the whole. But is this something we have to intervene with?
I'm not. There are things that we have to do.
Right.
That's fucked up, but there's no one else who can do it. And like I said before, if we don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. And then it really becomes a problem. Now, we have to just start bombing these assholes. We have to find out where they are, maybe get some special operators.
Literally wipe them off the earth.
Yeah. Or at least neutralize them to the point where they're just insignificant. I mean, you can't maybe not kill all of them, but if you can screw up their organization and their ability to communicate
sure.
and kill enough of them, you can stop them in their tracks effectively.
Right. I guess so. I mean, there is a humanitarian edge, but there's also, even if you ignored the human, which I don't know how you can, but even if you ignored the humanitarian end of it,
I can do it.
There's also the tactical thing of it. Like you said, you know, they're not going to stop at their borders.
No, not at all.
They're going to go right towards Israel, right? And the whole way, they're going to just conquer, literally, like old school, conquering these nations. You know, like Alexander the Great or whatever, or Julius Caesar. You know, anything they run through, they're going to own. You know what I mean? Right. It becomes theirs. It's part of their caliphate. But anyway, they're not going to stop till they've got all of Israel or die trying. They're trying to get rid of the Jews from that area is what it comes down
to. They're trying to get rid of everybody. But now the Christians, it used to be just, well, you'd hear that, not that this is okay, but you'd just hear them going after Jews and Israel. Now they're killing Christians in all these towns, Coptic Christians, and attacking them.
And
they want everybody out who doesn't believe like them.
Yeah,
and that includes other Muslims.
Right, and that is directly from the Quran. That if you're not dealing with other Muslims, you give them a chance to convert, or they die. That's it. And that's straight from their scripture. So, again, the whole religion of peace is bullshit. To summarize,
that is horseshit.
It's bullshit. Second, you can't treat these them like they're people. They're not. They're savage animals.
Savage.
And three, people on this end of the spectrum, liberals in the U.S., have to divorce themselves of the idea that these are groups you can deal with, that you can talk to, that you can negotiate with. You can't. You can't.
You cannot do it.
Unfortunately, Israel has learned this the hard way. Just like when Netanyahu told Obama 2 weeks ago to fuck off. Basically, he told him, don't ever talk to me. Don't ever, second guess me on the way I treat these savage animals, because that's what they are. Yeah, and you know what? Netanyahu is right.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And you know what the problem is also? The further underline, there's a big, big wave of anti-Semitism going through Europe right now.
And the U.S.
But in Europe in particular, in Germany, of all places, Italy, France is very bad. And these countries side with the Muslims on all this. Some of it's done out of fear, but some of them is just, they think they're right. Like the Europeans are more, statistically, they're more on the side of Hamas than they are on Israel.
Well, they were for the large part, Europe has got a long history of anti-Semitism.
Nice. So yeah,
they must have gotten screwed on an interest rate somewhere. All right, listen, before we go off on the history of anti-Semitism in Europe, because that'll be another hour, Judah Lariam, I think it's about time we wrap the show up. We've given our listeners enough show for this week.
I think so.
All right. Until next week, when we will continue this line of nonsensical thinking, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Lariam.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Lariam. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. Are 16-year-old girls legal in Tennessee? Just asking for a friend.